This is Papa Hale speaking, and you are listening to a Wrestling with Words podcast. Visit us at WrestlingWithWords.com and follow us on Twitter at WrestleWords. If you don't, you are not Papa Hale's approved. But remember to always be fired up!
Hey guys, you are listening to the Fans of Wrestling show here. I am Patrick with Danny Danger. As always, Danny, how are you tonight?
Doing well, man. Doing well. We had a quite a big weekend of wrestling this past weekend, man. We had, you know, we saw a couple shows live. There were a couple. There was several other apparently big eventful shows from multiple organizations. So I think we got a fair amount to talk about.
Yeah, well, let's get started with our weekend, because it, like you say, it was pretty eventful. Evolve came to Atlanta for the first time. Also, we had Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment, our home promotion. Of course, I'm there as playing their music right now, so I got to take a different look from a different angle. You were there ringside.
With many a beer in hand, yes.
So not only that, but it was AWE's first ever iPay-per-view.
Yeah, live iPay-per-view. You know, they've had a couple shows that been to DVD or released in whole or in part on YouTube, but this was the first one live. iPay-per-view is on the WWE Live. You can still purchase it. I think the price right now is $6.05. As we like to play back to the old WCW Saturday night television show there. I think that's why they do the 05 start times on many shows. It's kind of a little joke and an homage to that. So yeah, 6:05, you can get it on the on WN Live. We had live, you know. I think this is the first time that a lot of people maybe have been able to experience AWE. You know, people who live out of state or just haven't taken the time to come and try to find the shows in person. They had full commentary. I think it was Trevin Adams, the WN ambassador, friend of the show, and Sugar Dunkerton, and conveniently also another friend of the show, doing commentary. Now, since I was at the show live, I haven't had a chance to watch it on the VOD, but I hear their commentary is pretty good. Sugar is very, very comedic without taking away from the show. He's comedic, but he adds to the product instead of taking away from it. And Trevin's always great. Very, very knowledgeable and professional when it comes to doing any kind of commentary.
Not only that, but man, what a show it was. The crowd was electric. Of course, you were there amongst them. Crowd, over 200 people. Everybody fired up at 3 p.m. in the afternoon.
Yeah, 3 p.m. in the afternoon in Marietta, which was not the first time AWE's ran outside of the city of Atlanta, but the first time in a long time. The first time, I think, since the Canton days, right, that they've run in a city outside of Atlanta.
Yeah.
So AWE and then Evolve shared the same event space there in Marietta. It's a nice event space. It's I felt it was good. It was open, but it was also kind of intimate as well. You know, had a interesting kind of historic look to the decor. Not that you may be able to see a lot of that on the VOD, but just kind of a tidbit I wanted to throw in there.
What do you think about the results? Some of the things that happened. Chip Day retains his number one contendership, now facing Martin Stone at the season 3 finale, July 30th.
You know, of the, I guess, lesser of two evils, that would be the lesser that I would like to see in a match. But I do hope that Martin Stone retains at the season 3 finale.
And we got to see a traditional wrestling match.
Yeah, traditional rules, yeah.
What did you think about this traditional rules match that included, at one point, Homicide choking Murder One with the camera cables?
Yeah, and Julius Smokes kind of tried to get involved, and Adrian Armour came down to try to get involved. There was quite a good bit of brawling. Match came while referee was distracted by Smokes that Homicide was able to kick Murder One low and was able to pin him after that. So, to me, knowing both of these men's careers like I do know, although this may not be traditional rules of a wrestling match, this is a traditional wrestling match for both of these guys. We're just lucky we didn't see any forks or any sharpened toothbrushes, shivs, any kind of those things that these men are also known for. Both men have attempted to do very horrendous things to opponents. So I think this is about traditional. This is when you have a match with either one of these guys, I think these are kind of the antics and the level of violence that you can expect. So although it was barely contained within traditional wrestling rules, it's pretty much the status quo for both of these guys.
And following that, we had Evolve at 8 p.m. after a dinner break for us. What did you think about Evolve? Now, look, I've been to several Evolve events this year in Orlando and in Chicago. So, to me, high expectations.
You've been to quite a few more Evolves than I have. For me, this was actually my first live Evolve show. I've only ever watched them on VOD or DVD or Flow Slam or what have you. Looking at this show live versus watching all the Evolve shows the way I have in the past, I must say I actually enjoy them better from the comfort of my own home. Part of that, there may have been a couple additional factors, but the big thing that I think is that the Evolve matches, there's so much of the matches are grappling based. They're very, very skill and work rate heavy. So for a live audience, that's not always the best because you, from where you're sitting, you may not always be in the best angle to see the intricacies of what these guys are doing on the mat. Where through multiple camera angles and editing and these kind of things, you always see exactly what these guys are doing as they're grappling. To me, I did not enjoy this show nearly as much as the AWE show. There were a few interesting matches that kind of stepped it up. But for the most part, it was kind of a so-so show for me.
I will say that to me, the show definitely was underwhelming. Being at various shows with a lot of high caliber wrestlers. Of course, Orlando being WrestleMania weekend, you knew you were going to get a good top mix.
Yeah.
You know, I got to see Ricochet live for the first time ever, and you know how crazy I'm up by him.
Yeah, you've been waiting to see him for years.
I got to see in Chicago Riddle versus Kyle O'Reilly, which, again, fantastic.
Yeah.
I will say the standout here for Evolve was, to me, a great main event between Zack Sabre Jr. and Fred Yehi.
Yes, absolutely.
Keith Lee. The man is polarizing. Yeah. He is amazing. A guy his size can do so much. Unfortunately, that match ended what looked like to be early due to the ref bump.
Like you said, it was just interesting and exciting to be able to see Keith Lee in person. I also kind of enjoyed the Darby Allin versus Timothy Thatcher match. I'm a big Darby Allin fan, and even though it wasn't the traditional Darby match, I guess. Darby Allin, he wasn't able to kind of hit most of his standard offense and style like he usually would against Tim Thatcher. It was an interesting match just because of the extreme difference in fighting styles of both of those guys. So I did kind of enjoy that one.
I thought it was okay, but I don't know. To me, Darby Allin, he maybe in my mind, because he has done so many of these daredevil maneuvers, maybe I in my mind, I pigeon him hole in this box, and it's going to be hard for me to see him get out of it.
Okay.
I like the kid, don't get me wrong, but I want to see more, and it's hard for me to just believe him as a serious contender to the Evolve Championship by him just coming out and saying that he deserves a title.
Yeah, no, I can see that. It feels almost like he's kind of leapfrogging a little bit because as bad as he got, as he was kind of dominated in his feud versus Ethan Page, it seems that, yeah, he should not have been really granted a title match that quickly without stringing at least a few more wins together.
Of course, Zack Sabre Jr. now will be gone for the month of August from Evolve, since he'll be in the G1 Climax. So August will be the WWE Championship highlighted, as Matt Riddle will be back. I think that also hurt the show, the fact that Matt Riddle wasn't in it. Matt Riddle going to the UK and taking care of business there, not being at these shows as originally expected, I think may have hurt the show, because he is a name that's also huge, very popular with the crowds these days.
Yeah, that's true.
And, you know, if you think Evolve is coming, you're expecting to see Matt Riddle. Not having him there, I think, affected a lot. But I believe Cage Match had this as its lowest rated Evolve show of the year. Because Cage Match just does a rating just like out of 10. I think they had it rated like 4 point something.
Well, we've also, anybody who was there in attendance for both shows noticed the, let's say, drastic change in attendance levels between AWE and Evolve. And while there were quite a few other big things in town nearby, was, you know, big Metallica concert. They haven't been around in a few years. I know personally a lot of people who would have stayed for both shows opted to do Metallica because they bought those tickets so much further in advance. So I think that might have hurt it a little bit.
As well as people who went to watch parties for Great Balls of Fire.
Great Balls of Fire as well. Yeah, we definitely knew some people who did that. That's their cup of tea when it comes to wrestling. That's their primary choice. So they're going to choose that watch parties over that stuff rather than another a second live show for the day, which for some people is a bit much. Some people don't like doing multiple live shows in a day. I would say the crowd was at least 2/3 of the size it was, if not even less, for Evolve than for the AWE show.
But let's hope here that Evolve can rebound as they go to Joppa, Maryland next month, and they will have Progress talent on their show, as well as Leo Rush versus Matt Riddle.
Well, here's a question now. Now, the rumors have been spreading about that Leo Rush has signed with WWE. Do we know when he's supposed to be reporting? Will he be able to fill out these remaining Evolve dates?
Well, remember, Evolve does have a relationship with the WWE. I believe also that he's supposed to start sometime in August/September with the new class.
Okay, so he's signed with them, but he doesn't have to report for a little while.
Yeah, I believe that he'll be with the late summer, early the fall class that comes in. Of course, we know Red Dragon's already there.
Were they signed? They were signed as well.
Yeah, well, Bobby Fish signed. He debuted on NXT TV this week.
I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean that they signed, though. I mean, we've seen a...
Yeah, but he signed.
Okay, so both Kyle and...
Kyle has not yet been signed. But he has also just... But he just wrestled at NXT this week. Today, actually.
At the current taping.
Okay. Kyle O'Reilly wrestled at today's tapings.
Okay.
Spoiler alert. Sorry about that, people.
Yeah, we didn't tell you who, we didn't tell you whether he won or lost, so it's not that really much of a spoiler.
Right, right, yeah, we did not tell anybody that he wrestled Aleister Black.
Yeah, and that he probably got his face kicked in.
I don't think Lio Rush is going to get that star treatment. I'm sorry, I like his talent, he's great. You know, hey, he, you know, I don't mind the fact that he puts out, you know, his matches on YouTube for free to, for everybody to watch. Why am I going to complain about free wrestling?
As a fan, that's nothing to complain about, yeah.
But I don't think that he's going to be given that type of treatment. I don't think he gained that level. As much as maybe he thinks he may, and that's great that he did. I mean, he definitely carries himself like a pro. Big kudos to Lio Rush. I remember the times he'd come to Atlanta. He'd have his, you know, his little banner, his and table, shirts.
He'd have a full professional banner. Shirts, pictures, several different things, you know, he's there. Yeah. I mean, he's very, very young, but he does have, at least in some aspects, he has kind of a business sense of maturity as to what he wants to do with his professional wrestling career. And I guess him getting signed with WNXT at such a young age is also kind of plays to that. You know, they probably saw that in him as well.
Well, he does follow his friend Patrick Clark. The now known The Velveteen Dream.
Yeah, he's no longer Patrick Clark. He's just Velveteen Dream, yeah.
Who knows? Maybe Lio Rush could become The Velveteen Dream's young boy.
Yeah, he could be like Prince to, you know, where Velveteen Dream is, I mean, he's kind of Prince, but he's really big to be Prince. I think Lio Rush is probably closer to Prince's actual size.
He could be the boy to Dream's Dalton Castle.
I don't know if WWE wants to kind of play like an old man, little boy kind of thing. That kind of leads to, you know, that could possibly lead to bad publicity. This effeminate character has an effeminate boy hanging out with him, you know.
Art can imitate live only so much.
Yeah, for a publicly traded company. Yeah.
So yes, Evolve. The next two shows should be great. Marilyn loves Evolve. And they'll have Progress talent there as well. You know, of course, they're doing a show with Progress in New York as well in August. The Progress shows have sold out, so that's going to be no problem.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So they'll pick it up. So hopefully, you know, I think that, you know, this was just bad timing on everything. The card, you know, the time going against Metallica and Great Balls of Fire.
Yeah, first time in a new market, I think, is hard for a lot of companies, especially when you're kind of going up against so many different factors, you know.
But I still enjoy Evolve for the most part.
Yes. You know? Yeah.
And yeah. I'm going to still watch it, and I believe they can pick it right back up. You know, they're one of the leaders in independent pro wrestling.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so we kind of start talking about NXT a little bit. Tapings are happening. Johnny Gargano's back. However, Ciampa is out for longer than expected. Maybe out for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I did hear that earlier this, like, last week, that news states that his he's going to require surgery, and this could be the end of his 2017. It could be January, February before he even comes back to the ring.
Now, I've sort of stayed spoiler-free on rumors or whatever happened in the tapings with Johnny Gargano. What would you do with Johnny Gargano?
Well, I mean, you have to push him into some sort of singles run, obviously, unless you're going to throw him with another team or throw him with somebody else to team. But I think Johnny is strong enough. I mean, it's apparent with the breakup of DIY that they wanted to push both Ciampa and Johnny as singles competitors at first against each other and then see where they go. So I don't know exactly where you push Johnny, what program. I mean, maybe you kind of have to build him a little bit, you know, put him against somebody like Oni, you know, maybe you put him in a short TV program with Oni Lorcan, give Oni something a little to bite onto. And then, you know, I mean, thankfully they're kind of establishing a bit more variety as far as heels are concerned in NXT. I mean, Velveteen Dream is technically considered a heel. You still have, guys like Almas. It seems that Hideo Itami is kind of teetering right now. He's kind of in a transition of going to heel. You have, of course, have the members of Sanity. You know, Johnny Gargano could end up falling in the fight against Sanity. I mean, there's a lot of options. I don't know which one I would take right now. I don't know if there is a preferred one, but I would think maybe you at least need a little bit to establish him once again as a singles competitor, especially after the vicious beating he took at the hands of his former tag team partner. You kind of need a good few wins to establish him just as a strong competitor that doesn't need a tag team partner to be successful.
A good singles run for Johnny Gargano would definitely be a big benefit to continue to elevate him to a star, because we all know Johnny Gargano has star potential.
Yeah, what he's capable of, yeah.
Is there a chance you think that he may get moved up before the Ciampa-Gargano feud continues? Do you think there's something that could continue a 205 life, per se? Because, you know, you can only hold yourself for so long. You can only keep Gargano on NXT for so long. He's been there forever.
Yeah, he's been there for quite some time. I mean, I guess you could, you know, you could bring once Ciampa, you know, if you move Johnny up to 205 live, and then once Ciampa comes back, you have him come out and attack, you know, Ciampa come out and attack Gargano again. And then when they're doing these video packages of why, then you show all the footage of everything that happened in NXT. I mean, it's possible. And, you know, as we found out, as he's officially done with WWE as of Friday, Austin Aries, no longer with WWE. So that's to me, that's a pretty big star power loss to the 205 Live division, the Cruiserweight division. So I think that, you know, within a couple months, you might need somebody like Johnny up there to help add a little more star power to the 205 Live. I mean, Cedric's back and he's firing on, you know, he's coming in strong. You still have your guys there, but I think Austin Aries was a bigger name within that division, and I think Johnny may need to go in and fill that role sooner rather than later. So I would like to see Johnny at least get maybe one solid feud in NXT maybe before moving up to 205.
Now let's talk a little bit about NXT's roster. Let's put away Johnny. Let's put away Bobby Roode and Drew McIntyre. I believe those three guys will, if not should be, in the main roster within the next 6 months.
Yeah, oh, easily.
By the end of the year, they should. I could see them keeping Drew through next WrestleMania, but even for me, that's too long. Let's look at the rest of the roster. You have Aleister Black.
Yes.
You have
Cassius. Oh, no.
You have Cassius Ohno. You have Hideo Itami. You have Cien Almas. You have incoming Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish. You have incoming Lio Rush. There still does the rumors word that you have Donovan Dijak and Adam Cole coming later this year. Is Ring of Honor now following suit to the company formerly known as TNA and now sending their own roster to NXT for an invasion? We saw Dixie. Dixie successfully sent a lot of her talent have held championships on the main roster in the Hardys, Bobby Roode, the NXT championship, AJ Styles. So she's successful. Not so is ROH following suit?
Well, here might be the final piece of that TNA puzzle, is Dixie Carter herself appearing on WWE television in a documentary about Kurt Angle. So maybe ROH is starting to try to plant those seeds, you know, send some of their guys up there, say, hey man, it worked. But okay, now I joked for a long time about TNA trying to take over WWE. But the thing is it's with TNA, you know, they have a rotating roster of guys. You know, they have people they're still trying to hold the company to. They've signed new people. With ROH, everybody jumping ship, I think it's a bigger loss for Ring of Honor. Anybody that's of high caliber with star power has jumped ship because of the when it came time to re-sign, I guess the hopes of deals with WWE or the poor quality of deals that Ring of Honor was trying to offer. A lot of guys. I mean, and this is like a lot of top guys, big talent going elsewhere.
Which I mentioned most of them already.
Yeah, you mentioned most of them. There's probably others that we don't know of who are just sitting on their ROH contracts for another 3 or 4 months hoping to sign. You know, but I mean, technically, you know, there were several guys that came straight from there already. Roderick Strong, for example, who came straight from Ring of Honor, you know, just opted not to re-sign because he knew there was WWE interest in him. I'm trying to think. I know there's one or two others that were pretty much Ring of Honor solid guys who are or have been at least in talks with WWE for a long time.
Well, you have the Young Bucks as a possibility.
Yeah, Young Bucks, the Briscoes have always have been in WWE radar for a long time because of I think it's more so of a power play to try to steal those guys from Ring of Honor as opposed to thinking that WWE would use them in a high capacity. But I mean, technically, if you want to, you could say Gallows and Anderson. I mean, they were technically from New Japan, but they were also working and doing a lot for Ring of Honor. Same with Nakamura. You know, so I don't know. I feel like there's others that have jumped away or were in the process. But it just seems like there's a whole lot of guys jumping Ring of Honor ship right now.
Well, Ciampa did. He's one of the very first, I believe.
Yeah, I think he was one of the first ones. Opted not to re-sign and then ended up, you know, doing a lot of stuff with NXT as enhancement before finally signing officially. So it's, to me, it seems like Ring of Honor is definitely the real loser on that. It's not like they're getting rid of talent to bring in new talent. It's kind of just a lot of dudes are jumping ship and now they're kind of scrambling to hold on to establish the current guys they have as top level contenders.
Ring of Honor is now more dependent on New Japan Pro Wrestling than ever.
Yeah.
And it's going to suck for them once New Japan Pro Wrestling decides to sever ties with Ring of Honor. But with that said, my biggest question then is NXT ready for a second championship? With all the talent that they're starting to accumulate right now. Because there was a slight phase in the last year and a half or so where all this talent was getting to the main roster and it looked like there was holes on the NXT roster. But now they're filling all those holes. You have all these guys who are there. And, you know, with NXT only being a 1 hour weekly show, you don't have to feature all of the people. So that kind of helps you out a little bit. But, you know, they are a touring brand and you have all these big names. Does NXT need a secondary title?
To me, I would say, no. And for your reasoning of that they only have they only have 1 hour of regular TV a week. And like you said, most of these guys, you know, you don't have to feature them all every single episode. There's not nearly enough time to feature everybody on every single episode. They're kind of using, or they have at least a few times used the UK championship as kind of a secondary championship, you know? Oh, next week you're getting a defense of the United Kingdom championship on NXT TV. So that, to me, they have the ability right now until there's, you know, more specific television for the UK championship that NXT can kind of be that and use the UK championship as their secondary. So I don't think they really need one I personally feel that WWE has way too many championships as it is with the brand split. You know, and it just seems like there's way too many championships to where, to me, it seems that each of them has a little bit less meaning because there are so many.
That's fair. I can see that. And I guess I did give you a good reason to say, no, they don't need one. So I kind of set myself up for that one.
Yeah, well, I have come to that conclusion on my own, even without your, you know, kind of leading me to there.
Now, with that all said, we are having the women's tournament, the Mae Young Classic. The rumor out there is that there's going to be a belt for this show.
Okay.
There's going to be a belt for the winner, and this could possibly lead to an all-women's show.
Okay. I guess depending on the success of it, you know, and the CWC wed to 205 Live.
And just like the UK Championship is going to lead into a UK TV show, this could lead into a women's division within the divisions of WWE / NXT.
So you would essentially have four championships for women. And I guess then you would have the women's show that could feature any and all of them. So the Raw Women's Champion could come to this women's show.
Maybe the Mae Young champion, the Mae Young Classic champion, it'll be like the WWN champion. She can go to any show she wants and defend her title.
And defend it at any. Okay. Yeah. I mean, there's different possibilities.
That was more of a joke, but.
Okay. I mean, that's always a possibility, really.
I mean, I have no idea what they even are trying to add a title for this. I guess because they want to have a title for every show that they have.
Yeah, they want 7 championships for every single hour of TV, yeah.
So when they have a WWE heavyweights tournament, they're going to do a WWE heavyweight championship?
Maybe, or just have it as like a King of the Ring type thing, where it's just the honor of winning the tournament. The tournament winner is usually granted, you know, championship matches and higher quality matches or something.
And so, you know, I thought that would have been perfect. I thought that the winner of the Mae Young Classic gets a trophy, gets a plaque, and gets a title shot against Asuka. Because right now, Asuka needs contenders.
Yeah, she's cleared the division. 100%. She has beaten everybody that they have in a singles match.
And if she does leave after dropping the belt to Ember Moon, Ember Moon needs a challenger.
Fresh challengers, yeah.
I don't think that as much as I love Peyton Royce, you know, she's going to be there. I mean, Nikki Cross and Ruby Riott are almost somewhat there, but we've seen all of them fight each other multiple times.
Yeah, yeah.
So at this point, we need fresh faces, which we are getting.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of fresh faces, yeah.
But we need a fresh top contender, and I thought that would have been the perfect scenario. We'll see.
We'll see how they play it out.
Now, 4 more names have been announced for the Mae Young Classic. Kaylee Ray, Aisha Raymond, Vanessa Bourne, and Marty Bell.
Now, Marty Bell to me is a little bit of a surprise. I didn't know she was still... She hasn't been taking bookings most places for quite some time.
Unofficially retired.
Yeah, unofficially retired because she was with the NWL. She was doing secretarial work with them, kind of as their lead announcer, correspondent, host, whatever you want to call it. But she has wrestled recently a couple times with NWL. So I was a little surprised. I'm happy for her. I like Marty.
Big fans of her. Seeing her many times here in Atlanta.
Yeah. She just has the kind of that star power to her. She just carries herself like a star when she's out there. I mean, that's one of her best attributes is just her persona. But so I was surprised for that. And then some of the others, you know, you kind of knew. I think a lot of people expected Kaylee Ray to be in it.
Especially with Toni Storm being announced right away.
Yeah. With Toni Storm being announced and Viper being announced as well. So you started having more and more people from the UK coming. Kaylee Ray's pretty much the top baby face there in the UK to a lot of people. So it makes sense to get her. Now, so it's Thursday and Friday. They're doing on Thursday a parade of champions where they'll introduce every single competitor for the Mae Young Classic to the live crowd. They're going to put it on Facebook Live.
Yeah, just like the same way as the Cruiserweight Classic was done, they'll show them all, reveal all of them, because right now we only have about 20 names.
Yeah, 20 plus names out of a 32 woman field. So that would kind of be when we see the final of who, you know, maybe there's some more surprise names. Maybe it's just kind of a bunch of people from NXT, you know, the remainder are NXT squad members, you know.
I really want to see Rachel Evers on the tournament.
Okay. I thought she was announced the last couple days.
She continues to be named as a rumored participant.
Nothing official yet. Okay.
And so people, pretty much everybody assumes she'll be on there, being as her, you know, so many ties to the WWE and NXT. Her dad works there. Her boyfriend works there.
Coupled in with her several appearances and stuff. She's definitely in their sights, on their radar, kind of.
The one asterisk name that I have that I kind of wish I'd see, but I'm not sure, is Candice LeRae.
Yeah, I think that was one that a lot of people were hoping for as well. Especially because her, you know, she's married to Johnny Gargano. And she's within the actual split between Ciampa and Gargano and playing and their, even with their friendship in the team. If you follow it on social media, she kind of played as like the third member of their team. You know, they were, because Ciampa was, you know, Johnny's best man at the wedding, and they had said that these guys lived and traveled together. So Candice and Johnny had a house, and Ciampa lived there. That was kind of the gimmick, that Ciampa lived there in their house with them. So when the break happened, she kind of put some stuff on Facebook or on Twitter and Facebook, like, hey, you know, he's okay, but you know, we're trying to take some time to go through this grieving process and kind of.
Right. She did a kayfabe response on Twitter.
She played it 100%. Yeah. So that's where one of my thoughts was, okay, well maybe they might be bringing her in, or she's just helping to play it so that, you know, just for Johnny, I don't know.
She too has made a couple of appearances on NXT. True. So even NXT TV, she was at the Battle Royal.
Yeah, the Battle Royal not too long ago. Yeah.
Yeah, where we did end up losing Ember Moon for a few months there.
Yeah, when Asuka came out and broke everybody.
What do you think? So, are you excited? So we've already talked about this in a little more depth with all the names that were announced. But the tapings are finally gonna happen for the first couple of rounds.
They're upon us, yes.
And then we have to wait over a month before we can see them. August 28th,
the end of August, is when they start, whether they do an all-day special or they break it up into weekly episodes like with CWC. I think I haven't heard one way or the other. And then they'll probably do a live finale.
That I'm interested. I might, you know, as I said last week, I may actually travel down to Orlando for that.
But yeah, no, I'm really excited for this, just to see a lot of the different women, you know, statesides, some of them stateside for the first time, others just to see them given a different opportunity and exposure.
Many that we've seen.
Yeah, many that we've seen live and in person. Others I've only watched on tape and stuff, you know, through the internet for quite some time, but have followed. So I'm very excited for it. And then, you know, the same, pretty much the same time happening, you also have the Shine Nova tournament which is kind of supposed to be a title for new and upcoming people, you know, their secondary championship, but they're doing a two night tournament, the same time slot.
That will be on Flow Slam.
Yeah. Live on Flow Slam. It'll be actually, you know, night one, night two, and the champion will be crowned. You know, but I mean, it's happening right around the same time, right around the same area, Tampa and Orlando. So it's just, I mean, this week's got a whole lot of stuff. If you go down to middle Florida, you pretty much got a you know, some of the best women's talent in the world right there accumulating now between the Shine and the Mae Young.
Yeah, and a lot of these talent were just last weekend all in Chicago for the most part, a lot of them, for the Shimmer tapings.
Yeah, for Shimmer tapings. Yeah, a lot. Yeah, probably a good half of them were there.
Which most people will probably see by next year sometime, because they take a while.
Yeah, they put it on DVD and they take a while and stuff. You know, you could probably see all the matches in GIF form on Twitter if you go dig it up. But yeah, as far as if you want to see the full show, it'll take quite a few months usually.
So that's happening. But another thing with WWE, Great Balls of Fire just happened. Samoa Joe did not kill Brock Lesnar, although he very much tried to.
Yeah, he pretty much tried to, and it almost to me seems as though Brock kind of escaped with his life, really, as there were several times when he was seemed inches, seconds away from being choked into the permanent sleep by Samoa Joe. I guess my big question is, you know, is Joe now pushed aside from the title picture, or does he get a return match against Brock Lesnar?
As we saw on Monday, Roman Reigns and Samoa Joe will face each other for the number one contendership.
That's true.
So, I mean, I would definitely like to see the rematch. Everybody, I think, loved the match. You know, while it wasn't as spectacular to most people as the ambulance match was, I think that at some point we definitely probably will see Samoa Joe and Brock Lesnar again. But right now, I think all roads lead to Roman versus Brock at SummerSlam instead of WrestleMania. Maybe they're doing this early to take the belt of Lesnar, give it to Roman, and put her on a full timer.
That may be the case. Yet again, time will tell on that, yeah.
You know, Great Balls of Fire was a fun show, and it also looked like maybe Braun was once again written out for injury purposes. But more than anything, the fallout. We had the night after, the Hardys kind of getting close to the broken characters there, with Jeff reciting the entire song, that obsolete song.
Yeah.
And then with Matt almost close to his mannerism by using a lot of the key words, including broken at one point. It was really hilarious how he used it. I thought it was great. A lot of people start thinking, oh, they've made a deal. Jeff Jarrett said on a conference call this week, there is no deal. They still own the IP. Of course, that caused Revy to go on Twitter and call out Jeff Jarrett
again.
So the drama doesn't stop between the Hardys and the Federation formerly known as TNA.
Yes, now seemingly going forward as Global Force Wrestling. The show will remain as Impact, but it seems that the company will now take the name of Global Force.
And isn't that a blessing? They've been wanting to get rid of TNA, and what a better way.
That's the way to do it. I don't know if Global Force is the way to go, but it's definitely something different.
Well, you know, they want to be global, and they have all these global partnerships with India, with Mexico, with the UK. It's global. Hey, we'll finally get to see the lost tapes from Las Vegas. They're going to be released as one-night-only pay-per-views.
Okay.
So if people want to see how Magnus won the Global Force Championship,
yeah,
if you want to see how the Bollywood Brothers won the tag team championships, heck, if you want to see how Cody won the next gen title, which is now defunct. It'll be on the lost tapes of Las Vegas and whatever else. Actually, I don't even think Cody's win was on there. He won at some other indie show, now that I think about it.
It's, yeah, I mean, and like we said, I hope it works out positive for them. But we won't know for some time.
With everything else happening on WWE TV, another text came to Kurt Angle.
Those darn texters.
And something is, a secret is going to be revealed. Now, Wrestling With Words broke the scoop that the secret that will be revealed next week is that Chad Gable is Kurt Angle's illegitimate son.
They broke the scoop that Chad Gable will be revealed as Kurt Angle's illegitimate son.
Yes.
I don't know if I 100% agree with that. That doesn't mean it won't happen. That doesn't mean that it isn't the truth. But to me, I think the illegitimate wrestling son thing is terrible when it's been played out, because it usually doesn't work out the way they want it to. It definitely didn't work out for Vince McMahon's illegitimate son that was revealed to be Hornswoggle. And Hornswoggle, one, he was also revealed as the anonymous Raw general manager who had been living under the ring. So I don't know I don't like the angle. I don't like the angle as somebody having an illegitimate kid, because it doesn't do anything for the character. It's a cliffhanger for 1 week and that's it. There's never any long-term payoff for it.
I mean, we knew that they were going to tie in American Alpha and Angle somehow.
Kind of had to. Once they decided to bring Kurt Angle back on TV, you kind of had to tie them in, because they're essentially, Team Angle 2017, except they're both much, well... Let's say Gable's a much better wrestler than Charlie Haas.
And Jason Jordan is he's taller than Shelton Benjamin. That's what he's better at than Shelton Benjamin.
Yeah. He's better at height. He doesn't have blonde hair, so that's pretty good too.
He's not the golden standard.
No, he's not the gold standard. He's not. He does not have a move called the money clip, or pay dirt. Which also was a terrible name for a move. It was better when it was Jamie Noble's finisher, because there was comedic element to it.
All right, moving on. New Japan Pro Wrestling G1 Climax starts next week. Are you ready?
Oh my goodness, dude. Tournament. So many big tournaments with so much big talent within 1 week. It's insane.
Dude, we're going to get to see Kota Ibushi against Zack Sabre Jr.
Goodness gracious, thinking.
Okada versus Omega 3.
Yeah, will happen within the G1. I forgot about that. They're in the same block, man.
Ishii against whoever. I mean, Ishii against Sabre. Ishii against Naito. Ishii against Ibushi. You got B block against also Okada Omega. Then you also have Suzuki on there. You have Michael Elgin. I think that this G1 is very well rounded. Because you have superstars in both sides.
Yeah, you have superstars on both sides. You have strong style guys on both sides. You have smaller, faster guys. You have technical guys.
And I love that they're teasing the possibility of Omega and Ibushi on the finals.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a match that everybody's been wanting to see now for a while. Ibushi got a better of Omega back in the day, but of course, Ibushi was the bigger star. Now both guys, you can say pretty much just about in their prime.
Yeah, I would say so.
Ibushi no longer a cruiserweight, a junior.
Junior heavyweight, yeah.
So we're going to get to see these two guys clash, possibly. It could be one of the best... G1 finals ever. And, I know I may be exaggerating right now, because everybody knows how much I love Kenny Omega.
Yeah.
But it's also hard for when he's, on his game, it's hard to you know, to say that Kota Ibushi does not give you a 5-star match.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a huge standout on the Cruiserweight Classic. My favorite match of the Classic against Cedric Alexander.
Yeah, that was a lot of people's top match of the whole tournament.
If anything, I think that's the match that got Cedric signed. Remember, just at that match, he got eliminated. That he got the huge ovations from the fans. Triple H had to come in to kind of break it up. Say, let's go.
Take the mark pick with him and stuff. Yeah.
Just the thought of these two guys facing each other on this is just even is bigger, but Okada versus Omega, not for free, but it's kind of like on the equivalent of TV, if you had to say. You know, you're putting this on TV. Your WrestleMania main event is now on a Raw 6 months later. Are you leaning towards anybody specific right now?
The way these tournaments happen, they're so much in the air. It's sometimes very difficult to pick who the finals will come down to, especially with G1, just because it's such a rich talent pool. And there's so many guys who realistically could be in the finals. To be safe, I'm going to kind of wait until we kind of get into this thing a little bit before I try to pick any winners or favorites.
I just wanted to see Omega versus Ibushi, so I'm going with that. Even if I'm 100% wrong and that's not happening, I don't care.
Yeah, it's still a dream match. I understand.
A lot of it's going to be on live on New Japan World, so I may be having some sleepless nights.
Yeah. Well, that's what you do. You're the one who watches those things live.
I don't know why I do this to myself.
For the graps, right? Isn't that the term? I do it for the graps.
I thought it was do it for the gifs.
No, that's the wrestlers do it. Wrestlers do it for the gifs. Fans do it for the love of the graps. Yeah.
Or in this case, for the love of the strong style.
There you go. Yeah, it's not really graps. Graps is supposed to be the southern.
Yeah, this is a southern term. Because we all know we love the South.
Well, I mean, we're here. I mean, you got to, you know, if you can't be with the one you love, you got to love the one you're with.
Do you really, though?
It's polite.
Isn't politeness one of the things that we don't like about pro wrestling?
No, politeness is okay at times. We just don't like it when you're in the ring fighting each other or when you're putting each other over on Twitter when you're supposed to be heated enemies. But being polite to the South, even if the South may not be your preferred destination, is polite. It has nothing to do with indie respect or freaking kayfabe.
Battleground happens next weekend. And we'll be covering that a little bit more next week when the whole entire card is set up.
Field, yeah.
Dude, I mean, there's so many shows happening every week, it feels like. The G1's going to keep me busy pretty much going till SummerSlam. What if they do the Super J-Cup yet again?
Oh, yeah, that's possible too. Goodness.
Who knows how many more tournaments they're going to add between now and then. Well, oh, let's not forget the end of the year. Then we have the World Tag League.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, goodness. And then, you know, before too long, it'll be time for the Dusty Tag Team Classic again. So many tournaments.
This is the tournament era.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I mean, you've had a lot of tournaments in the past, you know, when there were, say, the late 90s, early 2000s, you had the Super Indie, and you had, of course, you know, Bola started out of that era, but you had the Super Indie, you also had the, and then you had the Super 8 tournament.
They brought back, because why not another tournament?
We're in the tournament era, and then you had the Ted Petty Invitational, and now you have the JT Lightning, thing. You have the Chikara Young Lions Cup tournament. Phoenix City Invitational's now establishing itself.
Ref Pro just have the J Cup.
Oh, yeah. Jushin Liger ended up winning.
Man, I feel like there's another tournament that we're missing, but you know what? That's just too many tournaments.
Piles of them.
MLA just had their own tournament, Border War Tournament.
That's true.
They officially announced their next date, October the 8th. MLA 13. It's going to be big, like always. I can't wait for the names to be announced.
Yeah. If some of these names are like the ones that we've heard, it's definitely going to be huge. It really will.
So everybody listening, make sure you keep up with all of the tournaments happening. Let us know what you think about the shows you're watching. We'd definitely love to hear your feedback as well as how you're enjoying the show. Check us out on social media at FOW Radio. Danny's on Twitter at DannyFNDanger. I'm on Twitter at YellowmanPA. Make sure you subscribe to the Wrestling with Words audio network on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Android devices, as well as checking out WrestlingWithWords.com for all of the great articles and reviews, as well as a family of podcasts. Check those all out there. They're really great. A lot of great content. So thanks for listening. We'll see you again next week. But until then, keep watching wrestling.